Hi, this is Cheryl Dockery, and I'll be your host for SBFM Radio this morning. Today I have two special guests. We have Gene Hazard we're going to start off with, but we have another person that I'd like for you to meet also today, Margaret Gordon. Now, we're going to be talking about the coal issue in Oakland. Now, Gene, you sent me a number of emails, and I'm just going to give you something to start off with to start talking about because we are behind. You had given me information regarding the Utah coal bill, Assembly Bill 246, and Oakland Army Base?
Yes.
You remember sending that to me?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to touch on that a little bit.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor, for having us on to talk about this very serious issue regarding the Oakland Army Base and what they are attempting to do with the what they call OBOT, the Oversized Bulk Terminal, to export coal out of Oakland. Now,
okay.
Bill DeGarmi, who is the developer of the city side of the Oakland Army Base, for which there is supposed to be a terminal to export bulk products. There's also on the port side of the Army Base is also a terminal to export products out of the port of Oakland, where the Army Base is also situated. They are not going to be exporting any coal on the port side of the Army Base. Matter of fact, the port rejected any consideration of exporting coal out of that terminal. Now, on the city side, it's a different story. Phil DeGarmi has engaged a tenant they call TLS. TLS owners are Jerry Bridges, who was a former port director, and also Omar Benjamin. They're looking at wanting to do a coal terminal on the city side. That will cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 million+. However, Phil DeGarmi does not have, and neither does TLS, have the dollars that are needed to jumpstart this operation. So what has happened in the state of Utah, they have concocted a scheme whereby the funds will, $53 million will come out of the state of Utah for a projected coal terminal in the city of Oakland. They initially started to use funds, what they refer to as the community impact funds, out of the state of Utah. And those funds are administered by a community impact fund. Those funds are initially revenues where these four counties in Utah receive royalties. The problem is that those funds are, and they're the result of, they come from the Mining Leasing Act of 1920. And it's to mitigate damages from mining in these four counties to help in certain mitigation, education, police services, a lot of social concerns that these mining
I'm seeing, Gene, that it appears that the mayor is opposed to this. What's going on with that?
That's the mayor and Mayor Libby Schaaf. But you need them. But what has happened? Because you made reference to SB 246. That's a bill that comes out of Utah.
Right.
Here, but because they were unable to use the fund, that's why I gave you the background information regarding how the source of these funds initially got started on the Community Impact Board. But they found out, and it's real clear, one, they can't use those funds for a private concern outside of the state of Utah. They're only supposed to benefit the folks in the state of Utah. Two, there's an attorney general's opinion, 92-003, that further supports that. Three, that those funds are violates the state constitution of Utah, Article 6, Section 29. So what they've done was now concocted some legislation, SB 246, to amend existing legislation to try to run through the legislative body the use of these funds. Now, when you look at that legislation, there's nowhere in there that you will see that those funds are intended to be used for the bulk terminal, projected bulk terminal in Oakland. Matter of fact, there's only one reference to a terminal, a marine terminal, and they bifurcated the $53 million, so you don't even know that this legislation is intended for Oakland, which the governor, Gary Herbert, signed in on March 22nd. The city council here has been looking at considering an ordinance that would not allow any coal to be stored in the city of Oakland. Nothing exported outside of Oakland because of the public safety and health impact. And I'll let Margaret chime in on this because she is the co-founder of West Oakland Environmental Impact, and she could give you some more hands-on detail because this is her bailiwick in terms of environmental issues all around. And we're
okay, Margaret, help us out here.
Okay. Hi. Since the Oakland Army Base was decommissioned back in 1992, 94, they have been the Port of Oakland and the City of Oakland, and have been trying to find out what it was how was they going to redevelop it, and it turned into a redevelopment land. So for the last 20 plus years, they have been trying to figure it out. So in 2010, 11, 12, they went through a whole developmental planning process of trying to understand the best thing to happen for that land. What first was the divide to give so much land, the 365 acres, give half of the land to the Port of Oakland and then half of the land to the City of Oakland. So at the end of the day, there's going to be two ports in the City of Oakland. It will be the Port of Oakland and the port named Oakland Global Trade and Logistics. And that's the City of Oakland's developmental project's name. Okay, So in the process, during the process of giving the contract to this private developer, named of Phil Zagami, who has been doing developmental projects in the City of Oakland for 20 years, and has a bad track record of hiring local construction workers, especially minority contracting and minority workers on any of his projects, and also have always lowballed his project, and through a change order process, to get more money out of the project. So that's part of his history. My history is that.
And to use public financing to support his efforts.
Yeah, for the last over 20 years. So moving forward, when he got the contract, it was supposed to be one project, one developer, one goal for the overall. He had anticipated he was going to be the master developer for both projects. That was the Port of Oakland's project and the City of Oakland project. And that didn't come true because the Port of Oakland went through a rigorous investigation, a rigorous process with the staff and the court commissioners, which at the time I was also a commissioner, that he never had all the private funding to support this project. As a private developer, he never had all his money. And he has
required private investment.
It was supposed to be a private partnership between the public and private enterprise. It didn't happen that way. So, next step was the state of California had a fund called Transportation Infrastructure Corridor Fund, which was about reducing emissions to impact the community on freight transportation. So that's ships, rail, trucks, cargo handling equipment. How do you separate this business, this type of a business or industry from impacting the local community, which is West Oakland, which is one of the highest levels of asthma problems within the county, within the Nine Bay Area County. One out of five children between the ages of 0 and 5 eventually end up in the emergency hospital for respiratory problems, and that's asthma. Moving forward, we have had 3 new city council members who came in, who was clueless about the project. Clueless, please believe me, clueless. And they had not did their due diligence and understanding the impacts of this project or the whole impacts of what this man is supposed to be doing, what he was supposed to be doing with this project. So he has gotten money for doing the infrastructure for the project, but the infrastructure does not deal with the building of this terminal, this oversized bulk terminal. And we as community and the city did not know his intention to build a coal terminal facility, not until last year, until the newspaper in Utah blasted it out to the local newspapers here. And what has split the community, not just about the terminal itself, the jobs, the story about the jobs, and the story about the jobs has split the community down to the churches, whereas that the development, the TLS, that's terminal system solution, and the two former directors of Port of Oakland went to the churches and told them that they would give them $1.38 million a year as a community benefits agreement to spend money any way they want to if they supported getting this coal terminal built and also giving the people, their people, these jobs for 66 years. Well, if you are and most of the people that they support get these jobs, if you have a felony record that's less than 7 years, you cannot work on the docks under ILWU. You cannot drive a truck because you have to pass a homeland security inspection to be able to get a job. So it's been this mixed bag of people pointing fingers, except for the community coming together and a bigger coalition to just say no storage of coal in Oakland. And that's what I've been part of.
You also should make clear there are a group of ministers who are not part of, who are opposing.
Yes,
who
they are.
Opposing.
Yes.
There's a coalition of ministers who are objectionable to coal coming into West Oakland. They didn't buy off on this jobs thing that TLS was trying to convince them to support this projected proposed coal terminal.
So this $53 million is right now is critical for just the is critical to the developer to be able to fulfill his obligations and building this terminal of the bulk oversized terminal, because if the audience don't know, the Port of Oakland only right now deal with transporting of containers. Okay, containers. And they'll have a lot of space for warehousing. So this new port with the city of Oakland will be generating a new expansion of an industry that has not been happening in the Bay Area.
And the issue is not about opposing the building of a terminal, a bulk terminal, because a bulk terminal will be built. The issue is opposing the building of a terminal that houses coal, because there will be jobs that are there. And most of the jobs initially are going to go to those who are currently and in the union.
That's correct. I know that too. And many of the individuals that the churches are working with, they're working with ex-offenders. And I'm really sad that they're not going to tell these individuals the truth about those jobs that are coming here associated with the coal, because they're going to have to be unionized. And then, as Margaret was saying, they're going to do a background check and all kinds of stuff. And I wish these ministers would tell the people that they're serving the truth about it and go out there and train them to get other jobs that don't require them to be, unionized and all of that stuff get them started.
Okay, but you need to understand, at the Port of Oakland, all 75% of the jobs are unionized.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to go into the warehousing, you're going to work on the docks, you will have to be unionized.
Right.
The ones not unionized are the truck drivers, unless you're a Teamster truck driver. But there's no way to get around not being unionized out here at the Port of Oakland or anything dealing with the city of Oakland. Then on the other side of that, also those there's a waiting list of 10 plus years to try to be a longshoreman.
That's right.
So you're not going to just, they're going to do work there out of work, those people on the out of work list first before
giving
anybody new people jobs. And that's the same thing about the construction workers also. If you have not fulfilled your, fulfilled those obligations that you need to be a journeyman, you're not going to get a job out there.
That's true. That's true. And so I'm hoping that we are not confusing a lot of people in the community about the jobs that will be created because of this. And that's one of my concerns, as well as the health issues. I have bronchial conditions and I have family members with asthma already. So we sure don't need anything, agitating that.
Right.
Now,
there was a story, even with the new people moving in because of gentrification and a shortage of housing, we do have elevated older people who are contacting a COPD, that's chronic pulmonary disease. And we have had waves of new people who are new white people who have gotten sick. We have also have new waves of white people who have come in and their kids have gotten sick and they have left.
We're talking about 100 freight cars of coal. 100, and that totals how much?
It could be anywhere from 100 coal cars coming through 5 times a week.
That's not
so
good.
You could imagine the fugitive dust particles in the air. And speak to the monitoring, Margaret.
And there's no apparatus that's doing the air monitoring along the side of the tracks to calibrate how much is coming in the air, because the air monitors that we have, there's nothing on the track line from one end of the county to the other end of the destination. There's no air monitor. They do have air monitors in fixed places through the city of Oakland, but there's nothing that's calculating air monitoring along the rail tracks.
Oh.
And there's nothing on the train itself to calculate what they're spewing out also.
And TLS would have you to believe that there's a protective cover that will not emit dust particles from coal. To date, I'm not aware of anything. And when you look at the largest coal mining companies like Peabody, that's going bankrupt, they're looking at filing Chapter 11. And Boeing, which is the second or largest, which is the investor and probably owner behind TLS. TLS, Gary Bridges, Omar Benjamin, are merely a face only. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars to look at exporting coal out of Oakland, going to and impacting the health of folks in another country, whether it's China, whether it's India, whether it's Germany. It don't matter. The people will contract serious health issues. That's why the city council, under the contract with Phil DeGami, there's a provision in there that allows them to review the health impact. As Margaret said, this slipped out of the bag, actually April 2nd last year, that they were looking at, and it's probably before that, probably they had this in mind when they got the contract, the lease disposition development agreement with the city of Oakland to have this whole army base coal was always there in terms of bulk terminal. Tagami manipulated himself to be the rail operator on the, he tried to get it booked on the city port side as well as the city side. He got it on the city side. He did not get it on the port side. So his, and the stuff in Utah, his vice president, who indicated, number one, in a letter, an op-ed piece about a month ago in the Chronicle, that indicated there would be no public funds being used, and they were unaware and did not participate in any legislation to help legislation in the state of Utah. I did a response to that. I know, and I put him at the meeting, the CIB meeting in Utah, well, he helped to engineer along with the other mastermind out of Utah, Jeff Holt, about the use of the community impact funds. And then they moved when they saw that didn't happen. They moved with the senator, Adam Stewart, to manipulate through this legislative manipulation, SB 246, that the city council now here is looking at what impact that this legislation will have here with the bulk terminal. I believe that they can, how can another state create legislation that is going to potentially impact the public safety and health of residents in another state? That's unconscionable to me. And I hope the city council here take whatever action they need to stop these funds from being used that's going to adversely impact the public safety and health of the residents here. This bill does not go into effect until July 1, 2016.
Okay.
There will be several other opportunities. One on April at the city council on April 19th. So our listeners who are in particularly Oakland, they could come out and let their voice be heard. And also, there is another meeting that Councilmember Cobb is having on May 2nd. I might say on February 16th, I presented to the council an ordinance that I discovered that's in their body of information, the planning code, Public Safety 44-1906, that in 1906, they prohibited the storage of coal oil, kerosene, and all petroleum products. All of those were fossil fuels. I've said before this council that only thing they need to do is update this ordinance to include thermal coal and other things that, and particularly identify fossil fuels. The council, that this is not a heavy lift because that ordinance cannot even be repealed. Anything that's in conflict with that, so if Dr. Dockery chose to bring in another ordinance that conflicts with that, your ordinance is nullified because this is the order of the day. That ordinance in 1906, it has not been repealed because it can't be repealed by the language that was contained in that ordinance. I might say for your listeners, whether here or all over, you could go to cleanoakland.com, cleanoakland.com. SBFM.com and look at Gene's blog, and you'll find a plethora of information regarding this whole coal issue, the ordinance, and other kinds of things. And the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, Margaret may want to give you their contact information, because she is a professor of environmental issues and things that goes on in West Oakland, and she's been asked to speak across this country in terms of environmental issues. So, Margaret, you may want to give them your contact information.
You also could go to either www.eip.org, that's my organization, or to the No On Coal NCIO website for any updated information also. We have had, that's the coalition of multiple different organizations within the city of Oakland, from Sierra Club, 350.org, Sunflower Alliance, Systems Change, not Climate Change, some residents of West Oakland, SEIU, local 1021, the Nurses Association, the local Nurses Association, and have been working the Rose Foundation with some youth. So we have been working together since April of last year on the No On Coal campaign about the storage of coal. So yeah,
and Senator Lonnie Hancock, she has proposed legislation right now in opposition to coal.
There's going to be a hearing Tuesday on with the transportation. I think the Transportation Commission in Sacramento at 1:30 at Sacramento.
Okay.
You're talking about. Okay, you mentioned Lonnie Hancock. Are you talking about Senate Bill 1277, 1278, 1279, and 1280?
Those
are four pieces of legislation. You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
There's going to be a hearing, 1:30, in whatever the designated area for the Transportation Commission. And you also can get in touch with her staff, Isabella, to get more details.
Also, our elected California Insurance Commissioner, Dave Jones, he's called voluntarily for the 1,000 or so insurance companies to divest in coal. Because, as he said, that's those are risky assets. We have the public employee and teachers union in the state of California calling for the divestment of coal. You have the retirement board in San Francisco on the divestment of coal. You have assembly person Bonta and Thurman in opposition to coal. You have our supervisors in Alameda County, Nate Miley and Keith Carson.
You also, like I said, you can go to NCIO-discussion.org, and that's where you can get more information about the No On Coal.
Okay, that's very
clean
good.
Open, and also cleanopen.com.
Okay, I am so happy that I was able to get both of you to participate in this radio talk show, because this information is crucial, to especially people in Oakland and people all around the world, really, who may have the same coal problem. So I want to thank both of you for calling in and participating.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Dockery.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to wind this down. I'm going to have both of them back again at a later date, maybe in a month or so, so you will be able to have an update.
Thank you very much. All right, I'll be looking forward to it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to close. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.